reality of illness, you know, the body's imperfection that's expressed in injury, illness, and discomfort in different ways. And last week we worked with a practice that invited us into the nuanced experience of sensation that's often packed into that label of pain. And so we worked with that in the body. And one of the things that came up at the end of last time that points us to another dimension of the complexity of this was, you know, the thinking, the emotions that can come up in that knotted constellation of what we perceive to be pain. So we're going to start to expand, working with those layers and explore that in practice and in our short talk today. So I invite you to sit comfortably as possible, inhabiting the body that you are in here and now. That might mean a slight adjustment, a realigning of posture. Allowing for any compassionate adjustments here on the front end of practice, knowing that there's no perfection and we can use the capacity of mindfulness to tune in to the body, to listen, and to be responsive to what's here in the body as best we can. And so as you settle in, finding your posture, and then feeling your posture, feeling the body sitting from the inside out, maybe the weight of the body and the pressure points between body and floor, or body and chair, or cushion. Inviting a deeper settling, a resting into the support that's being generously offered. And letting the ease that might arise from that resting, letting that ease translate into energy, perhaps expressed through a slight elongation through the spine, enlivening muscles of the core and through the back body. Not in a way to bring any tension, but to connect you with the quality of strength inherent in the body. And as you settle into the stability, the strength of your posture, allowing yourself to find a place to rest your awareness. It might be in the soles of your feet. It might be in contact with the breath, and letting yourself be with this home base for just the next little while to gather and ground, so that as the untethered mind that we can have in our busy days, that it has a place to also begin to rest. So we're calling in our attention and our energy to being here now. as you gather your awareness in this way, as you perhaps settle and center, you might allow the awareness to permeate a felt sense of the body as a whole. Noticing any places in the body that the awareness is pulled to, particularly places of tenderness or tension. Difficulty or discomfort. And offering the simple kindness of recognizing experience. That recognition might come with the simple energy of witnessing. Or it might come with a silent naming of what you become aware of. Naming the sensation as we explored doing in our session last week, a vibrating, twisting, contracting, or relaxing. Not getting caught up in a lot of mental activity to name what's here, but if it's easily recognizable, just a silent little whisper of identification. If you wish. Oh, aching. Tensing. Numbness. And then simply allowing some space for whatever's here in the body to be. just to be. It's like this. And as you're opening to whatever's here in the body, bringing an interest to it, a curiosity. What's it like, this tender place in the body? Maybe investigating the sensations that are there. Noticing how they intensify or dissipate. How they might change moment to moment. And as you open to the sensations, also tuning in to how you're relating to what's happening in the body. Is there a sense of spaciousness or allowing? Or is there a flavor of any resistance? in the form of not liking, of being frustrated or irritated with what's happening in the body, or fear, worry. Will it always be this way? Will it get worse? And this might invite in another layer of recognition. Maybe even a gentle naming of any emotions that are present. Irritation, sadness, grief. Or maybe there's a sense of peace or acceptance. And there might be the naming or identification of habits of mind, thought patterns. Oh, worrying. Catastrophizing, imagining, remembering. Can there be an allowing for these thoughts and these feelings to be here? Bringing your awareness to being interested in what's fear feel like in this moment? Where is fear in the body? So if there's an emotion present, noticing how that is interconnected or expresses in sensation. And as you're sitting with the fullness of the experience in the body and the mind and the heart, letting yourself lovingly check in to see how does the experience of this moment need you to be with it? What's the body and the heart mind needing, asking for? Perhaps just to be seen. Perhaps some expression of more active attending to or kindness. A gentle hand on the part of the body that is feeling the sensations or the emotion. Or a few gentle words of kindness or reassurance. Oh, I see you. I care. This is hard. It's hard to live in a human body. Maybe the gentle flow of the breath into or through a part of the body or the heart center. And then letting yourself come home to whatever anchor you began with. Soles of the feet, the breath, or some other touch point. Just feeling body and breath. Taking a few moments to recognize, to acknowledge any benefit from pausing to step outside the flow of your busy day to practice in this way in community. Maybe there's a little more tranquility in the body or the mind. Or simply a deeper sense of presence, of being in the body, or even being with the busy mind, if that's what's here. Or a sense of connection and appreciation for having a place to come and share. Meditation and community with. And so, in whatever way you can touch even the tiniest spark of goodness that's arisen from your practice today, letting this spark be like a light in your own heart, whether it's a birthday candle or a bonfire, and carrying this spark of goodness out into the world and sharing this lightness with each and every being you encounter today, whether that's through the simplicity of a smile, a kind word, a moment of listening. So that we're contributing to the collective illumination of a world that offers a sense of safety, well-being, and freedom to all. May it be so. So, a few reflections on this ongoing theme of working with discomfort or dis-ease in the body. You know, often what arises in response to that is a cascade of thoughts and feelings. Many of them would fall under that umbrella of resistance in that formula of pain equals, or suffering equals pain times resistance. So some of the most common are fear and all of its relatives, you know, anxiety, worry, apprehension, you know, sadness and all of its relatives, you know, that sense of loss or grief, heartbreak, you know, the just the real tenderness, because there's often limitations, sometimes temporary, sometimes permanent, that come with what happens in the body through a lifetime. Anger and all of its relatives, you know, the frustration, the irritation, the impatience, the, you know, sometimes the the rage. There's sometimes a sense of unfairness or injustice, you know, depending on what the causes and conditions are of what happened. So it brings in a whole nother layer of pain. You know, we have the discomfort in the body, and then we often have more discomfort in the body because our emotional life is expressed in the body. So one of the ways to work with this is through the practice that many of you I know are familiar with, but when we look at it in different contexts, sometimes different things are illuminated. So what was being woven through that practice today was the practice of RAIN. Those four steps of recognition, allowing, investigating, and nurturing. So we can use these all together as a practice, and then each of those ingredients also points us to ways of meeting the moment. So sometimes just recognizing what's here, recognizing that first arrow. I know sometimes we've talked about those, I think, at different points, the two arrows. You know, there's the pain that life shoots at us, you know, the unsatisfactoriness. And then there's the second arrow that we often shoot at ourselves with judgment, resistance, reactivity. And sometimes we shoot a whole quiver of additional arrows into ourselves. You know, it's really, you know, I'm humbled again and again when it's like, oh, wow, yeah, that was difficult. And I just let go, and now it's more difficult because I'm dysregulated and I'm agitated and I'm upset. So, you know, sometimes just recognizing that first arrow can be a way of minimizing how many more arrows we shoot at ourselves. So just honestly recognizing and naming the sensation, which is the bridge from where we were last time. Like, oh, this is uncomfortable. This is tingling. This is stabbing. This is electric. You know, all those labels. Sometimes it's really helpful to recognize and name, oh, and in addition to what's going on in the body, there's sadness. There's a tremendous fear. There is, you know, forecasting into the future, so we can also name those habits of mind. You know, the discomfort might be a three in this moment, but it becomes much bigger when we start to go, oh my God, now it's going to be a three for the next 87 years of my life. Or it's like, what if it gets worse? This isn't so bad. I can live with this, but like, oh my God, what if I wake up tomorrow? And it's a 10. I'm never going to be able to live through a 10. That will kill me. So it's like, you know, we add to the experience. And it's not to say, that this is bad or wrong. This is very human. This is what we do. And we're just using the lens of our practice to try to illuminate our habits of mind and heart that we can work with, because the truth is there might be discomfort in the body and we can't get rid of that. The place that we can often work more is, okay, how tangled up do I get with this discomfort in the body? And so naming it can be helpful. And there actually is, you know, some nice research by a number of folks, including David Cresswell, who show naming something can actually calm the amygdala. So we don't have quite as much as of a fight, flight, freeze response. Allowing, you know, just taking a breath, gifting the tiniest bit of space. Okay, three breaths. I'm just going to see what happens with this discomfort in my body. You know, sometimes things are quite transient. Or our fear has a chance to be transient. Like something happens and it's like, oh my God, I can't tolerate this. And it's like, if I could take a breath, okay, I'm still here. Okay, I'll take another breath. I haven't died yet. You know, another breath. Okay, this is not enjoyable, but like maybe it's not going to kill me in the next 12 minutes. So like, let me just assess the situation. Is there something skillful I could do to attend to the body? So recognizing and allowing sort of open the doorway to investigation, which sometimes people, you know, don't like that word. It feels a little intrusive, a little bit like putting our experience under the microscope. So it's really about being inquisitive, interested in, becoming intimate with. These are other I words that sometimes people resonate with more. And it's just being curious. Okay, what's it like? What's it like moment by moment? Does it change? Does the sensation change? Does the emotion change? Oh, that thought disappeared. That thought bubble popped and now there's a new one. And this next one's about lunch. And oh, now there's another thought about, you know, what's going on in my body. Like, oh gosh, should I make an appointment with the doctor? Oh, I need to remember to buy toilet paper. Okay. So, you know, we might just notice that there's more going on. We can also tune into, what am I believing right now? Sometimes that's a question that I'll ask myself in the midst of a thought storm or an emotion storm in response to discomfort. Oh, I'm believing this is going to last forever. Or, oh, does this have a history? Oh yeah, you know, like a few years ago something happened and it's like my mind is pulling that right here into the present. So, you know, we don't get super analytical, but it's not that there can be no thinking in this part. So, you know, we investigate, we get curious. And as we see and understand and relate to what's here, we open the next door, which is potentially to caring for what's here, caring for ourselves as the one who is dealing with what's here. So the N is this quality of nurturing. What does this part need? Or how does this part want me to be with it? Oh, it's actually asking for some patience, you know, or it's asking me not to panic. You know, or it's asking me just to sort of watch what's going on. You know, you know, I think about over the years, those of you who are women, and maybe David, because you have women in your life, you know, if you're a woman, you get an annual mammogram or every 2 years, or as you, you know, sometimes they get spread out a little more. And it's like, you know, sometimes women will feel something in there and it's like, well, okay, wait, was that always there? Is that supposed to be there? What does that mean? And, you know, we go down the train of thought about, could this be cancer? Okay, you know, and I mean, I know I've been through this cycle many times in my life. And then it's like, okay. And, you know, there can be whole days that it's like, it's right there, it's right there, it's right there. The pit of the stomach, it's like, ooh, the appointment's coming up. It's like, am I living the last normal days of my life before I get that diagnosis? And then it's like, oh, okay, so this fear is saying, oh, I just need to be seen. Like, this is scary. Uncertainty is scary. Living in a body is vulnerable. Not knowing is vulnerable. Okay, you know, and maybe it leads us to some behavioral self-compassion. Like, I'm going to call a girlfriend who can nod and smile like some of you are. Like, oh, I know what that experience is like. you're not crazy. We do have these days. And, you know, lots of times it's nothing. Lumps come and go, or, you know, they're just normal, they're benign. And so we work with the fragility of being in a body and being in a mind. And it opens the door to caring for ourselves. So, I think I'll share one short quote and then pause. And I know a couple of you need to leave early today, and we may, if we're small, we may stay in a group instead of breakout groups. But, you know, when we're working with the body and then all the emotions that come with it, I sometimes bring myself back to a quote by Pema Chodron where she says, "It's very helpful to realize that the emotions we have, the negativity and the positivity, are exactly what we need to be fully human, fully awake, and fully alive." Yeah. It's not a mistake. Like, these are the gateways to being fully human, fully awake, and fully alive, if we can hold them that way. And RAIN is one of a number of practices that can help us do that, whether we use it as a complete package or whether we use just one of the ingredients on the fly, like, oh, I'm going to recognize what's here in this difficult moment, or I'm going to, you know, allow it just a few breaths, or maybe I'm going to ask myself, what do I need in this moment, and offer myself a little sip of micro nurturing. So I will pause here and see. I know you have to leave early, Susan, and we can either have two breakout groups of two, because I know Diana's not available for breakout groups, or we can just hang out for a few minutes with us. What do you think? Sound okay? Yeah. So I'm just curious, you know, how this lands and if there's anything anybody might want to share in response to working with discomfort in the body and the companionate discomfort in the mind and heart, or about RAIN, including any questions or confusions. Yeah, please, Julie. I appreciate what you're saying, and it reminds me of an analogy that I heard, I think, in a talk with Tara Brach, and she was referencing something that Mark Nepo writes about, and he describes, you know, working with pain and the difference between a tree that falls in winter onto a frozen pond that's ice. So there's a resistance there. It cracks. It's, you know, there's really no place for the tree to go. If that same tree fell in the pond in spring when the pond had melted, it would fall into the water and the water would ripple around it, and there's like a space, you know, there's like a space that's just made, and it's, and so, you know, if we can melt our hearts or melt our fear or melt our resistance a little bit, it's like almost like pain can fall into and through us sometimes. Which isn't to, you know, disregard the impact, even in that, you know, melted pond, there's an impact, but it's different. It's different. And as you're pointing to, Julie, you know, like not overreacting, the allowing has that inherent quality of mindfulness, which is a balanced awareness, not ignoring, but not getting lost in the drama of it. Yeah. So when that, projection of pain into the future comes up and there's a lack of acceptance, you know, how does lack of acceptance feel in the body? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And any sense of how that lack of acceptance wants you to be with it? Yeah. Can there be any kindness for the lack of acceptance? Hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I wonder if there's a way, you know, just ways to begin to just acknowledge, you know, the profound ouch. Yeah, the profound pain in living in a body in pain, and living in a mind that's at war with living in a body in pain, and you know, even just the kind, you know, a kind gesture or word for that part, just to see what it needs, you know, and it's a lifelong practice. It's not easy. I'm curious if there's other wisdom in the room, because I know that Gabriella is not the only human that's been living, you know, that has lived in a body with ongoing, uncertain discomfort. Yeah, Ellen. Thank you. So I'll just see before we pause for today. I noticed you were at one point going to unmute, David. So anything your heart wants to speak before we close? Beautiful. Yeah, I so honor the courage in this circle, you know, the courage to open to this experience of being fully human, you know, including the challenges and what I would leave you with today are two things. One is a question, again, one that Tara Brach often asks. What are you unwilling to feel? What are you unwilling to feel? And that can be a rich inquiry. It might be something literal, like that you're unwilling to feel sensation-wise in the body. It might be something emotional. It might be both. But often that question will help illuminate those second arrows. the places of resistance. What am I unwilling to feel? And we don't have to judge ourselves for our unwillingness, but investigating it can help us see where might there be the possibility of a little more freedom. Just a little bit, because a little bit of freedom around this can actually go quite a long way. You know, I know for myself, when I've loosened the grip, that pain can go sometimes from like an 8 to a 5, you know, or an 8 to a 3. And like, that's a lot easier to live with, you know, that's a different edge to be working with, or to take that fear from a 7 to a 4. It's like, okay, I'm a little bit kind of in the mid range now. It's like, I'm able to move through the world and then to open to the goodness. So I really appreciate what you're pointing to, Ellen. And I think that might be where we'll go next time. I'll see what emerges, but you know, another way of working with these messengers, and I think illness is a good gateway, is to remember that it's not the full story, even though it can really fill up the space. It's like, what's still here? What's still left? What's still possible? And I have been like moved to tears and goosebumps by people over many years who in what from the outside would look like dire circumstances and their capacity to still touch joy and gratitude and grace and beauty that gives me hope that, you know, I don't even know what it's going to be like to inhabit this body that's going to fall apart in ways that I can't anticipate because I'm imagining it here. But when I've watched people live into those experiences, they've been so different than the horror story that this mind would create. So I think it's really helpful to keep that in mind. So you might even just let yourself have a curious eye. Open your heart in the next 2 weeks, because I'll be gone next week and back the last week of June. So what are you unwilling to feel? And, you know, we worked with those Brahma Viharas, so where might joy or beauty or grace, you know, all those wholesome heart qualities be a support around disease and discomfort.